भवति भारत। अद्युतानं मधर्मशं तदात्मानं सृजाम्यहम्। परित्राणाय साधुना विनाशाय च दुष्कृता। धर्म संस्थापना हरेर्नाम हरेर्नाम हरेर्नामैव केवलम्। कलौ नास्त्येव 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 गतिरन्यथा। कृष्ण 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 हरे हरे, हरे राम 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 हरे हरे।
हरे कृष्ण डियर डिवोटीज एंड वेलकम टू आवर वीकली कृष्ण कॉन्शियसनेस प्रोग्राम। And once again, I would like to invite all the listeners to the Hare Krishna Temple, which is at 1229 Coatesville Riverhead Highway, or Highway 28, where every Sundays we hold special public programs starting at 11:30 with bhajans and kirtans, followed by aarti of their lordships at 12:30, and then we have a discourse on the philosophy of Krishna consciousness from 1 to 2. From at 2 o'clock, we'll have aarti of our founder Acharya, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. And then we finish the day's program with vegetarian feast at 2:30. Please come along, join us, and celebrate Krishna consciousness. Today, I'll continue with the recital of Ramayana, the pastimes of Lord Ramchandra as depicted in Ramayana. But I'll start up with the story of Ravana, because you can't have Ramayana without Ravan. Ravana was the eldest of the three sons and a daughter born to Kaikasi in Vishravas, Kaikasi and Vishravas. Kaikasi was the daughter of Sumali, a rakshas. Sumali wanted his daughter to marry a powerful Brahman so that their offsprings have the best of both races. They would be rakshasas, but with the powers of great Brahmins. This would ensure a permanent rule of the Rakshasas over the demigods. The pious Kaikasi did not share her father's opinion. However, being an obedient daughter, she married Vishravas, Sumali's choice of the ideal groom. After wedding, when Vishrava realized his wife's real intentions, he cursed her that she would give birth to bloodthirsty rakshasas. Kekasi had married Vishravas to appease her father. So she fell at the feet of her husband, imploring him to retract the curse. To pacify her, Vishravas bestowed her with another son who would be a great devotee of the Lord. Kekasi gave birth to a 10-headed and 20-headed monster named Dasagriva or Dasanan. From his very birth, this decahedral monster was anger personified and one who eventually turned into a cruel maniac. Ravan lived up to his name. He derived great pleasure from making others cry. Next, she gave birth to another son who rapidly grew to become a giant. He devoured everything and everyone who crossed his path. He was named Kumbhakarna. Next, a saintly boy was born. He was named Vibhishan. Finally, an unattractive and deformed daughter with a vicious temper was born. She was named Surpanakha. The word Ravana means one who makes others cry. Kumbh means pot and Karna means ears. Oh, the one whose ears were as gigantic as pots. If the ears are so huge, how big would the body be? Ears represent the organ through which we acquire knowledge to destroy ignorance. Although Kumbhakarna had such huge ears, the knowledge to help discriminate the right from the wrong never entered into his ears. When right knowledge escapes from ears, garbage makes way into it. Kumbhakarna was filled with rubbish, which is represented by his gigantic body. The word Vibhishan means fearful. Hence, Vibhishan meant one who is very fearful to behold. Vibhishan was very fearful of committing any act not sanctified by the scriptures. Naka means nails, and Surpa means sharp. It also could mean like a winnowing fan. Surpanakha literally means the one who had sharp nails, or one who had nails as big as winnowing fans. The sharp features of Surpanakha indicated the sharp nature, almost adamant, of her mindset. She was a person who wanted everything she desired. Vishwas had another wife who gave birth to a son named Kubera, who became the treasure of the demigods. Kubera got possession of Lanka. Lanka was a very beautiful island, personally designed by Vishwakarma, the architect among the demigods. He specifically chose this island as a recreational retreat for the demigods because of its scenic beauty and natural abundance. Lanka was built atop a mountain called Trikuta. Trikuta means three peaks, was originally a peak of rock that broke off from Mount Meru. Once two Gandharvas were debating who was stronger, Vasuki, the gigantic celestial serpent, or Vayu, the wind god. The Gandharvas sporting Vasuki substantiated his charm by saying that Lord Vishnu personally always chose Vasuki to carry out Herculean tasks such as churning the milk ocean or rescuing the beings of the universe from deluge when their Lord appeared as Matsya, the fish incarnation, the other Gandharvas wonder if Vayu could be stronger. Gandharvas were celestial beings with melodious voices that sing beautiful hymns. Vasuki was used as a rope for the churning the milk ocean, and the Mandra mountain, which was placed on Lord Vishnu in his Kurma or turtle incarnation, was used in the churning as the churning rod. Because Vasuki was a gigantic snake, he could coil around the mountain, and one end of his body was held by the demigods and the other by the demons. And when Vasuki was pulled to and fro, the ocean ended up being churned. At the time of great deluge or parale, Lord Vishnu in his Matsya expanse incarnation pulled Manu's boat. Vasuki was used as the rope between the boat and Matsya's horn to prevent the boat from drifting away into the oblivion. Vayu is omnipresent, happened to overhear this conversation between the two Gandharvas and found it unbearable. It hurt his ego and it became a matter of prestige for him to prove his superiority. Vayu decided to challenge Vasuki and prove his power over him. Thus began the clash of the titans. When Vasuki was informed of the challenge, he readily agreed and proposed a test to prove their strength. Vasuki suggested that he would coil around Mount Meru thrice and Vayu would have to blow as hard as possible to loosen his grip on the mountain and yank him off the mountain. All was fine about this duel, except that they forgot to consult with Mount Meru and seek his permission to use his body as the testing ground. Vasuki coiled around Mount Meru thrice, and Vayu began blowing with all his might to get Vasuki to loosen his grip. The harder Vayu blew, the tighter Vasuki tightened his grip on Mount Meru. Mount Meru began writhing in agony because he was being both crushed in Vasuki's tight grip and rocked by Vayu's strong blows. Unable to bear the torture anymore, Mount Meru revolted and cried out piteously to Lord Brahma, the creator of the universe, to save him from this distress. Brahma heard Mount Meru's cry for help and appeared on the scene. The profoundly wise Brahma explained to demigods, how each one had unique strength and weaknesses and how their strength were to be utilized to save and not compete. Acknowledging their mistake, both Vayu and Vasuki put an end to the competition. As Vasuki eased his grip on Mount Meru, a huge piece of rock broke off and fell into the ocean. This enormous rock had three peaks, hence the name Trikuta. It was this rock, Lanka, that Vishwakarma chose as the paradise island for the recreation of the demigods. Rivalry between the two wives of Vishravas became the cause of a rift in the siblings' relationship. Kaikasi, Ravan's mother, began showing seeds of dissent in her son's heart. She kindled the lovely feelings of envy in her son by taunting him about the opulence surrounding his half-brother Kubera. Even though she was not of pure mind, she asked all her sons to take refuge in prayers. She taught them the right tenets, right prayers, but for the wrong purpose. Instigated by their mother and fueled by the great aspirations within their hearts, Ravana, Kumbhakaran, Shurpanakha, and Vibhishan left the comforts of their home to perform austerities. Vishwas trained his son Ravana to become a scholar in the scriptures. Although Ravana was theoretically a scholar and had divine knowledge, he had no divine qualities. The three brothers and their sister performed tremendous austerities, neither eating nor sleeping for many, many years to please Lord Brahma. When the deity Lord Brahma wanted to appease, did not appear, Ravana began chopping off his heads one after another and began offering them into the sacrificial fire. When he was about to chop off his last head, Lord Brahma appeared before him to fulfill his desire. Immortality was what Ravana wanted. Brahma, however, was unable to give something that he himself did not possess. Ravana then tried to acquire the same boon by placing forth conditions that would indirectly ensure immortality. He asked Brahma to grant him that none of the demigods, sages, gandharvas, kinnars, rakshasas, or nagas should be able to kill him. Brahma granted him this wish. Granting Ravana his wife threw the demigods into disarray, and they blamed him for their present unhappy predicament. Brahma assured them that he had acted in their best interest. He highlighted the big loophole in boon which a smug Ravana had missed because of the momentary lapse of intelligence. Ravana's extreme arrogance and pride made him forget to include humans and monkeys when choosing the entities for immunity from death. He believed that it would be an insult to his superior powers to ask protection from mortal humans and weak monkeys. Brahma told the demigods that this was the loophole that would result in Ravana's death. Brahma further explained that the moment he heard Ravana's demands, he instructed Saraswati to immediately sit on Kumbhakarna's tongue and manipulate his desire. Kumbhakarna wanted to ask for Nityatvam, or eternity. Nityatvam means eternity. But as a result of Saraswati's manipulating his tongue, he ended up asking for Nidratvam. Instead of Nityatvam, he asked Nidratvam, or unlimited sleep, instead of asking Indrasan, seat of Indra, he asked for Nindrasan, bed of sleeping. And instead of asking for Nirdevastam, annihilation of the devas, he asked for Nidhvanitam, sleep, Nidratvam. Brahma granted it immediately, much to the dismay and frustration of Kumbhakaran. Kumbhakaran begged Brahma to reverse the boon. Brahma relented and made a slight change. He could sleep for 6 months and be awake for the rest. Since then, Kumbhakaran led half a life of sleep At the end of 6 months of sleep waking, Kumbhakarna up was a humongous task. Even if his body was set on fire, elephants and camels were made to walk over his chest, or bugles were sounded close to his ears. Nothing could break his sleep. A huge army had to march over his body. When the army marched past him, shooting astras and creating a lot of disturbance, lot of noise, he would finally feel some sensation and stir slowly out of his slumber. On waking up, he would annihilate half the army. So to satiate the hunger of the colossal mammoth body, he would ask for food immediately. He would satisfy his 6 month hunger by eating incessantly through every waking moment before he went back to sleep. Again for the next 6 months, his education took place along with his eating. Pandits sat on either side and read books to him. He listened to the shastras as he ate. He also found time to become an expert archer. Brahma then told the demigods about Surpanaka's boon. She desired that she be able to change her form at will. Brahma granted her this will. Surpanaka, who was ugly both externally and internally, felt that by being able to change her external looks, she would hide her internal ugliness. However, internal ugliness has no relationship with external appearance, as beauty resides inside a person. Brahma was asked when narrating Vibhishan's boon. Vibhishan request not only shocked the Supreme Creator, but also the docile demon's own siblings. He asked for devotion to the Supreme Lord, and that he should never deviate from the principles of truth at any point in his life. Ravana and Kumbhakarna warned Vibhishan that he was not only ruining his own life, but was also becoming a blot in the entire Rakshas dynasty. They reminded him about the infinite powers of Brahma. However, Vibhishan was determined, and Brahma firmly felt that his visit had been worthwhile. Once Brahma shared these details with the demigods, they were pacified. Yet they thought it necessary to tell Brahma about the kind of atrocities Ravana was inflicting upon them. The most prominent demigods were made captives to cut vegetables in Ravana's kitchen. He bullied them into serving him all day. When he wanted a gentle breeze, he beckoned Vayu. When he wanted warmth, the sun god or Surya had to appear even on a rainy day. The ocean god Vayu was made to guard Lanka in the face of an enemy. Varuna had to create fierce waves to frighten them away. Rahu was made to hang upside down facing a wall so that he could never create any inauspiciousness in Ravana's life. Ravana had made the Navagrahas, the nine planets, in charge for controlling the astrological situational, prostrate on the steps leading to his throne. He walked over them before climbing up to the steps to sit on his throne, indicating that not even the planets could control his life. The demigods were frustrated and agitated, Brahma told them, told the harassed demigods that they should seek out Lord Vishnu and that he was the only one who could help them. Even as Brahma's soothing voice tried to calm the helpless demigod, Lord Vishnu mounted on his carrier with Garuda, personally appeared on the scene. In this instance, the Lord's eagerness and desire to protect his devotees took precedence over the devotees praying and requesting the Lord to appear and protect them. Even before the demigods prayed to the Lord to help them, he manifested himself. A distinct difference between Ravana's situation and that of the demigods is revealed here. To receive Brahma's favor, Ravana had to almost give up his life and even then ended up displeasing Brahma. But Lord Vishnu appeared to the demigods even before they prayed to him. They qualified for this favor because they saved Vishnu through administration across the universe. Pleasing Lord is a matter of not only prayer, but also saving him. Lord Vishnu appeared resplendent in his yellow robe and in the most exquisite dazzling jewelry. He was holding a conch, a fiery spinning metal wheel, a chakra, and a mace in three of his four hands. The Lord arrived. Lord's arrival atop Garuda was like that of the arrival of the sun mounted on a black cloud to bestow the gift of rain as divine blessings of protection. Ravana had created a fire of anxiety which was scalding it. The Lord was now expected to rain his cooling grace on it and quench the raging fire of anxiety by destroying Ravana. So we'll stop there and continue next week from there.